goal of doing this is really draw attention to those issues that are most on the minds of these Chicos and HR directors so that both both government itself can focus on it, but also if there are, you know, inside the federal agencies can focus on it, OPM, OMB can focus on some of those issues, and also, you know, if there's congressional or regulatory things that need to be focused on, that again, there's adequate attention focus that's given to what these HR leaders across government really see as some of their toughest challenges.
The report is frankly pretty tough.
The report is fairly tough, but again, remember this is actually coming directly from those HR leaders. So, you know, you would expect them to be fairly candid in their conversations as well about what they see as the issues that they need to focus on in order to do just that, close the gap. So I think you know this is their opportunity to anonymously say these are some of the issues that we're facing, and if we don't actually get some of these things right, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to produce and maintain a first-class workforce.
Before we get into some of the details of this, Federal News Radio's Max Kakis spoke with Catherine Medina, who's the executive director of the Federal Chief Human Capital Officers Council, and she had some questions about the size of the sample that was used and whether, I guess, almost how representative it is.
Yeah, we again, the views that are portrayed in the report is really the responses reflect a consensus of views from Chicos and HR leaders. So we did in fact talk to 14 Chicos. Now that's a small percentage of the overall Chico population within the federal government. But there were also 11 deputy Chicos in there. We also took some added and in many of those conversations, whether it was with a Chico or a deputy Chico, they actually brought in staff members as well. So those are all part of that 68. If they contributed to part of that conversation, as a quick example of the population that we looked at. Listeners need to understand that you know, with any research report, the research is often done, you know, a little bit in advance of things as well. But for the Department of Defense, for instance, 600,000 plus federal employees,
right,
in the civilian Department of Defense, their Chico had just literally started at that point. So he actually directed us not to have an in-depth conversation with him, but to talk to the Deputy Undersecretary for Civilian Personnel.
Right.
We didn't simply talk with Mary Lee Fitzgerald, though. We also talked to the person who heads the civilian workforce within the Department of Army, the Department of Navy, and the Department of the Air Force. So we really did, I think, you know, this does encapsulate views of not simply Chicos. So if you look at this as a Chico only report, I think Catherine Medina is right to say, not quite sure this is representative of all the Chicos. We're representing this as a report of Chicos and HR leaders, those who actually are directly involved from small agencies and from large agencies, and we certainly had some of the largest agencies represented. I mentioned DOD, you know, DHS, Jeff Neal, the Chico at DHS, not only represented viewpoints in here, but also in the release of this event earlier this week was one of our panelists.
Mm. Talk a little bit about, did you find findings more surprising than others?
You know, a couple of the things that I thought were certainly interesting. I don't know that they were necessarily surprising, but certainly interesting. And I think, you know, one of the issues that Chicos and federal HR leaders have their eye on is what's going on with hiring reform. The administration and the Office of Personnel Management, the Office of Management and Budget have put a lot of emphasis, the partnership has put a lot of emphasis on the need for reform within the hiring system. And I think one of the things that you know, we still hear now from agencies is that there's really a dual focus of hiring reform, and we need to make sure that we keep our eye on the right piece. So the dual focus is make sure that the process improves and is faster. The real outcome that we're trying to reach, though, is to ensure that we have better people. So let's make sure that at the end of the day, the better is the piece that we really put the priority on. If we simply develop speed and develop a system that's faster, but we don't get better people, we actually haven't done what's needed. So
right.
I think, you know, I think the again, not a surprise, but the aha there is, you know, the world view of this, which is really let's look at the end outcomes of what we're really trying to achieve. I think the other thing that struck me about this is certainly the HR leaders perceived need to focus on improving the capabilities and the competencies of their own staff, HR staff.
And one of the things that comes through on this is, at least as I was reading through it, there's a lot in there that I think OMB, OPM really focusing on, and at least John Barry and I think Jeffrey Zients is also, I mean, every time I see him speak, he mentions, hey, people are a critical part of this.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, that's one of those where, you know, I think the leaders that we talked to in the HR community within government did say that you know, overall the current leadership at OPM received very high marks and think that they're talking about the right things, they're trying to do the right things, and you know, as we've talked before, hiring reform a part of that. Jury's still out, but they're certainly talking and trying to do the right things. And I think the interesting thing here is the Chicos have all said, you know, we want to be a part of that. We want to work with them. We want to figure this out collectively. And I think that's actually one of the most interesting pieces of this, whether it's about the relationship with OPM or OMB or how you work with some of the external stakeholders, whether it be the unions or, you know, other regulatory agencies, or even cross-agency collaboration with other C-suite executives as well, C-suite communities. You know, there really is, I think, a recognition that collectively we all have to come together to solve this, and we're all ready to do that.
On technology, two interesting facets. One is, and one of the reports is that technology essentially is not great. Manual processes and lack of robust HR IT solutions is what we have. And what the report says we need is technology and processes that streamline operations and produce data and results needed to manage effectively. And I think everyone agrees with that. In Max's story this morning, one of the people we talked to said what we've focused a lot with technology is almost removing people from the HR process, and that's also doesn't work. And so it's an interest. The role of technology in here, I also find very interesting.
Yeah, I think the role of technology is a vital one, and certainly, you know, these HR leaders, you know, looked at that and said, you know, technology isn't where we need it to be. And I think the interesting thing there, and again, this really speaks to, you know, the dual pieces of even hiring reform, which is this isn't simply about faster, it's about better. So yes, we need technology to streamline things, but we also need technology to get at some of the data and the results that are needed for us to effectively manage the process going forward, to effectively manage you know, our people internally. I think the issue that you raise, you know, to the extent where you bring, you know, ultimately, you've still got to have that personal connection to it. And I think that's why in the context of looking at this within the context of hiring reform a little bit, you know, there also is a recognition in here among these HR leaders that more training, more development needs to be done for line managers as well. So they understand not only their role in the recruitment and hiring process, but how that they understand how to effectively manage people as well. And that's really where that people part comes in, that technology will likely never take the place of.
Yeah. So my perception after reading this and having talked to a lot of chief human capital officers over the years is that so many of the other parts of government are changing so rapidly, and there is at least a sense from a lot of government folks that the HR processes really haven't evolved as quickly and haven't changed that much. And so what I was reading between the lines is a real frustration. And it's like, hold on, come on. We need a 21st century system to deal with all the 21st century problems that we're facing.
Absolutely. And I think there's a recognition that, you know, everybody needs help right now. The government needs a lot of help to ensure that we're getting the right talent into government. If we don't actually focus some attention inward on ourselves and the whether it's the technology infrastructure that we need or the people issues that we need to deal with right skills, right competencies, it's going to be very hard for us to help other pieces of agencies actually achieve the results that they need.
So if there's one takeaway you hope people take away from having read this report, and I think it's worth their time, regardless of whether you're an HR person or not, if you're connected with government in some way, I think it's worth reading. If there's one takeaway, if people do read that report, what do you hope they take away?
Yeah, again, I think one of the keys for me is that these HR leaders are not satisfied with where things are right now. They understand that there are necessary changes, and there are necessary changes even right under their own noses. And that's actually, we have to address those, move those forward. But I think it's not simply a recognition that you need to move those forward, but there's a recognition that, almost a little bit of a call saying, collectively, we need to move this forward, and we're ready to roll up our sleeves, and we're ready to do this, and let's be full partners, not only with one another. Let's not try to solve this all on our own. Let's try to collectively solve this, working with OMB, working with OPM, working with external stakeholders, and working with one another. And I think that's really a major key for government is, to me, part of what this is that the silos aren't going to solve our issues. We need to look at this across government and look at how we all work together.